Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that we can come before you, Lord, and just focus on your word. We thank you, Lord, for the time in worship, God, that we can just praise your mighty name. But God, your word is here to instruct us, disciple us, to bring us forward today. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you bless the word and anoint it, God. For each element that we talk about, God, I'm just prayerful, Lord, that this word would allow people to break free of the things in the past, to be able to move forward in the things of Christ. And so I just pray this in your mighty name. Amen. There is, anybody old enough to remember Candid Camera? Okay, awesome. It's my crowd. So there's an episode of Candid Camera out there that you can find on YouTube where there's a guy that just gets in the middle of a city street and begins to look around like this. He's looking around. And people are kind of looking at him and then walking by, but he's just keep looking and he's checking his pockets. And then eventually gets on his hands and his knees and he starts crawling around the city street looking. And eventually people begin slowly, one by one, to get on their hands and knees and help this guy find whatever he's lost. And so he continues to crawl around and crawl around and eventually has a small crowd of people crawling around on the floor next to him. And then he just gets up and kind of shakes off and walks off. And of course they say, ha, you're on Candid Camera. But you can see how people can begin to search for things even though they don't know what they're looking for. And I think that it's so much of what it is with Christ, right? People are searching. People are looking. They want something, but they don't necessarily know what they're looking for. In Colossians, we've been doing this series on Colossians, and we're learning about the supremacy of Christ. In the first two chapters, we learn that Christ is supreme over creation. You know, we just spent a week up in Nova Scotia, and I'll tell you, God said, what is it? God, Tom, God's masterpiece. And we kept saying that over and over again. It was phenomenally beautiful, breathtaking. And when you're in that kind of an environment, it's hard to not recognize the hand of God, the hand of the Creator over creation, that He's supreme over creation and has put all these things in place for our enjoyment. Our enjoyment. Amazing. And the second chapter talks about how Christ is supreme over the church. And we talked about not being judgmental to allow people to come into the church. Now we're going to learn today about how Christ is supreme over the Christ follower. As we follow Christ, we need to make him head of our lives, right? It's we need to make some decisions based on whether or not we follow Christ. We move from principle to practice. Well, why? Because we might understand that Christ is supreme. We might understand up here. You know, we read the Bible, we might come to a sermon and we say, yeah, Christ is supreme, Christ is the head, Christ is above all things. And then actually how we live our lives day to day might not necessarily reflect that. In Titus chapter 1, verse 16, it says, such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. And so my sermon this morning, our message this morning is to encourage you not to deny Christ in the way that you live. Amen? We are set free from the powers around us. Supreme he is over creation. And we have that direct line to God through Jesus. We have the ability to connect directly to the Father. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. How if I wanted to have a relationship or have a communication with Jackie, I wouldn't say, Ann, would you tell Jackie this for me? I'd go right to Jackie. And the same thing it is with God. We pray right to God. We don't need intercessors. We don't need to pray through Mary or through the saints, but we pray directly to God because we have a direct line to him. Well, the first thing we have to do is to grab hold of our new life in Christ, right? If we know that we are new creatures, we're new creations in Christ, we need to grab hold of that. And that means that we need to let go of the things from the past. Amen? Paul gives us four ways in Colossians 3 in which to remove these rearview mirrors. And that's why I said, no rearview mirrors. You know, too often we're on a journey and we're spending time looking in the rearview mirrors about all the things that are behind us when ultimately our eyes should be forward, focused on everything that's ahead, because none of that really matters. Amen? All right, four ways. Well, the first one is to look up. So if you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We'll begin right in verse 1. If you need a Bible, there's some on the back table and when we came in, if you happen to forget yours at home this morning. And we actually have paperback ones if you do not own one. We want to make sure everybody has a Bible. You can see us if you need one of those. Sorry, still working to find mine. Colossians 3. All right, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So the first line sets it up for us, doesn't it? It says, since you have been raised with Christ. And so that introduction tells us that we've been raised with Christ, right? So if we go back to what we'd read previously in Colossians, it told that we are dead with Christ and raised with Christ. That baptismal formula, when we talk about being, when we go down, right, the old man goes down and the baptismal formula and then raised to new life again. So we die in Christ, but we're raised to new life. It's a status which brings us new life and allows us to break free from the past. He goes on to say, set your hearts on things above. And we talked about that before too, our hearts. That's where our passions lie, the things that we care the most about. We want to set your hearts on things above, not things below. Has anybody ever heard the phrase, they're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good? Ever heard the phrase before? Well, that's not good, but neither is it to be so earthly minded that we're not any earthly good or any heavenly good. Okay, so we want to make sure that we set our hearts on the things above, focused on Christ. Even Jesus instructed us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be given to you as well. And that whole chapter deals with all of the things. Remember, we talked about worry a few weeks ago. Not to worry about things because God has everything covered, right? God has everything covered. You're going to get there when you need to get there. And so we want to focus on God, and God provides all of our needs. We seek heavenly things, kingdom things. We keep our eyes focused on God. We want to set not only our hearts, but to set our minds on things above. And this goes back to, it seems like a resounding theme in everything that we're talking about, is to renew our minds. When we set our minds on things above, we need to make sure that we're purifying them from things below. Do you know that your thoughts equal your actions? Anybody agree with that? That as we think, right, that's how we act. The things that we think about tend to take up our preoccupations. They take up our time. If we're thinking about what everybody's saying about us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, what are we going to be doing? We're going to be checking those things. Did somebody like my status? Did somebody comment on that? Do I have a message? Or are we spending our time thinking about heavenly things? Have I been able to reach my neighbor with the gospel of Christ? When is the last time I invited them over to dinner? Am I representing Christ well in my life? We want to be setting our minds on heavenly things. And it takes effort because our tendency is to look down. I love the analogy of using a trail through the woods, right? When we went on this 6-mile hike in Nova Scotia, there were a lot of roots and a lot of things. And so we tend to, when we're going on some kind of a path, we keep our eyes down. Well, in this instance, we need to make sure we look up first because we need to know where we're going. We need to know what we're headed for. Don't worry about those things, right? Seek thee first, the kingdom of God, and all these things. So all the things that we think about that are going to tie us up, we don't need to worry about. We work on changing our minds, and God will change our hearts. That's the simple fact of it. The more that we change and clean this out, the more that God will be able to do something in our hearts. And again, how do we do this? Well, we read God's word, right? Sometimes I feel like a broken record. You say, oh, Pastor Debbie, you tell us that every week. I think it's important, so I probably do. So yes, read your Bible, pray, fast. Discipleship. Another great way to cleanse your mind is to serve. Right? We have people, a bunch of people that are serving this week that are serving kids. It's not serving self, but serving the Lord through serving the kids. And when we do that, we are discipling ourselves. We're having the heart of Christ, who came as a servant, the ultimate servant. So we become like God. We change our minds by serving, getting ourselves outside of ourselves and focused on others. Amen? So we go to the gym to get our physical bodies in shape. Some of us do anyway. How then do we get our minds in shape? Well, I think we have the Philippians Fitness Club. Chapter 4 in Paul's letter to the Philippians states this, and I'm going to read it out of the message so it'll sound a little differently to you. Summing it up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Isn't that great? So we want to focus on the things, the pure and noble things. That's the other way, right? Pure and noble, but the good, not the bad. The best, not the worst. Too often we get caught up in all those things, those roots, those things that'll trap us up. And we focus on the negative instead of the positive. We want to set our mind on heavenly things. God is glorious. God is gracious. God is merciful. He's above all things. And if our minds are set on that, they won't get caught up on all the earthly things. All right, second one is to look out. Number two, look out. We're going to read verses 5-9, just in the beginning. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all things, all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. And I'm going to stop there. So going to the analogy of walking through the woods, we need to beware of all the things that will trip us up. Now here, Paul gives us a great list of things to avoid. All right? But honestly, they're part of the old nature, or at least they should be, right? If we're grabbing a hold of that new life in Christ, we want to know that the old nature, those things that represent the old nature, the things that we're putting to death, it says to put to death, things of the old nature. And we want to know the new nature is the things that we're going to clothe ourselves with that are more Christ-like, the things that we're meditating on that are pure and noble. But we need to get rid of the things of the old nature. This, I love how it's split up in two ways, right? The first one, you're reading through it, and there's this pretty harsh little list, right? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, right? And most of us be like, that's not me. Old nature, handled, right? That's not me. And then he goes on to say, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Hang on now, there's more. Right, just like those ads on the TV. Wait, there's more. Anger. Okay, you can probably stop right there. Anybody ever get angry? Okay. Rage is the extreme of that, of course, right? Malice, slander, and filthy language. Have you ever caught yourself saying anything negative about anybody else ever? This list is like, yeah, like I said, the first list is like, this list, not so much, maybe, right? So we need to know that that old nature always keeps trying to raise its ugly head again. So we need to put that to death. Oftentimes, we deal with things and struggle with things because we're not actually putting them to death. The list encompasses so many things that are not only into the self, but really are dysfunctional in the community, right? We're concerned about the things that might hurt us. You know, maybe I want to stop smoking. Well, that's all about me. But if we think about all of these other things, it's all about how it affects other people around us. Rage and anger and malice, that destroys friendships. It destroys relationships. It's about the community. New life in Christ is not just about tidying up your house for guests. Anybody ever do that? So, you know, you have people coming over, and I'm cooking, and maybe I'm cleaning the kitchen, and everything's kind of tidied up. And maybe you have, like, all this extra papers and books and things like that, and you just kind of pick them up and you throw them somewhere because nobody's ever going to walk there. And so the house kind of appears on the surface that it's clean and tidy, and you can receive the guests. Well, new life in Christ is not like that. New life in Christ is getting under the couches and pulling out every last dust bunny that exists. Not that anybody has those. Or how about getting up on a step stool and checking up the top of your cabinets and cleaning up there from all the grease and things, right? Getting under behind the refrigerator, pulling out the stove. So new life is finding those things that are hidden from the world, hidden from most people, right? Most of us come here on Sunday morning and we have an experience of this is what we are, this is what we look like, and we have a face that most people would say that represents the real you. And most of us, I would say, try to be the real us, but ultimately there's some things that once we go home and once we shut the door that nobody knows about, and that's between you and God, right? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes along as an advocate to bring conviction, to bring those things up in our lives so that we can deal with them. It's not for us to point at one another and say, hey, I know you've got dust bunnies in your house, and I know you've never cleaned behind that stove of yours. Get there and do that. That's not our job, right? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. It's not our job to judge one another. God is the one that judges. We're here to love and encourage and exhort. All the grunge, all the dirt needs to truly go if we have new life in Christ. It's so much more than attending church on Sunday morning each week. But once you know that the house is truly clean, right? It sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it? Pastor Debbie, that's a lot of work. But if we clean everything out, if we clean our house from top to bottom, and you know it's truly clean, when anybody comes over, you never have to worry about what they're going to find. Amen? We clean everything out spiritually so that the stuff doesn't show its ugly head in a place where you least expect it. Because as much as we try to bury things and forget they exist, if we don't kill them, they will show back up. It's just, it's the truth. The cool part is that we have been given the ability to put these things to death spiritually through Christ. Once we are aware of the sins in our life, we're to put them to death. So notice that we're not just to put them aside. We're not to wound them. We're not even to ask them to leave. You know, anger be gone. Rage be gone. No. We have to kill them. It says put to death. It is a very violent and a very black and white description of what we're supposed to do to the sin in our lives. Put it to death so that it can no longer raise its head. Before we're able to put on the new Christ, right? We need to get rid of the old Christ. The best analogy I can think of is if you have a little baby that's got a poopy diaper, you are not going to put a clean diaper over the poopy diaper. Can I get an amen? Okay? You are going to take off the poopy diaper and then put on the clean diaper, because that's the only way to truly be fresh and clean, right? Is to truly get rid of the dirt and the poop in your lives. Amen? Okay, good. When it comes to all of these sins, the easiest phrase to remember is don't do it, don't view it. Okay? Don't do it, don't view it. There's a lot of stuff out there that's causing people to sin. Don't view it. Don't do it, don't view it. All right, number three. Look in. Colossians 9, the second half of 9 into 10 says this. After he says, do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. I'm going to read it from the message, too. You're done with that old life. Right? Woo! Can anybody say amen? Glory to God. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now, that's killing something, isn't it? Putting to death. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. I love that. You know, if you have things in your closet that you haven't worn in a year, chances are you're never going to wear it again, right? And here's an aside. Sarah Arell cleaned out a lot of her clothes. Oh, somebody else? And they brought them here for you to peruse after church, if you'd like to. We're going to call it the Women's Clothes Closet. It's available over there next to Mr. Steve. But once we want to purge those old things, right? Nobody wants to wear bell-bottom pants anymore, right? That's the old life. That's our old style, you know? So if we have a new life in Christ, we can't dress like the old life. We can't look like that. Besides, we are made, it says, in the image of our Creator. When we take off the old and put on the new, the outward appearance, that analogy, is simply a description of what happens to us at salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, my favorite verse of all time. I'm going to read it in the NLT. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. That's the good news. So Warren Wiersbe, a Baptist theologian, puts it this way. We were formed in God's image and deformed from God's image by sin, but through Jesus Christ, we can be transformed into God's image once again. Isn't that the good news? That we are no longer defined by our bad old styles, okay? We can have a new life. We have to be willing to get naked before God, though. All right. Leighton's in here, and I'm sorry in advance, okay? In order, when we strip down, we get naked. Amen? It's something we all share in common when we get dressed. You can say yes. So when we're naked before God, we stand there before God exactly how He created us. And then He begins to clothe us in the things that are kingdom-like. All right? So Leighton used to be really cute. Well, no, he's handsome now. It's different. Because he's 19. He's not 3. But when he was like 3 years old, he used to sing a little song. So we'd be getting ready for the bath or the shower, and he'd run around and he'd go, "It's great to be naked. It's great to be naked." But here's the thing about that. It's because he has, as a young child, you have no idea of what culture is expecting of you and putting on you and all of the worldly things that come to weigh us down. It is great to be naked, right? Before God, it's great to have nothing burdening you, nothing weighing you down, nothing filthy that somebody else has put on you, because sometimes people put on their old ucky clothes on you. They're the ones that are making your clothes filthy, dirty, disgusting because of what has happened to you, not because of anything that you've done. And God has a way of making that clean, making that new. And so it's great to be naked because that's new life in Christ, that baptism. When you think about a newborn baby, when we're born again in the spirit. But just like a baby comes out of the womb naked, we're born again naked before God. That all the sin, all the yuck, all the gross is gone, and we're fresh and clean. And then God begins to rebuild and reclothe us, amen? It's the way that God designed us. Before we're able to put on masks, false identities, and impure thoughts and actions, all the things that Paul talked about, that comes over time. So we get naked and we allow God to redress us in kingdom fashion, the best fashion ever that never goes out of style. But we're going to talk about that next time we get together, the second half of Colossians 3. So finally, number 4, look around. Colossians 3:11 says this. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. That's the ultimate end of it. Christ is in all, so we need to see others the way that Christ sees them. No racial barriers. No social barriers. No religious barriers. No cultural barriers. No economic barriers. And if we read the same list in Galatians, no gender barriers. Can I hear an amen from the ladies? In the New Living Translation, it says, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. So our differences must be loved away, so there truly is unity in our diversity. So we need to put the old life behind. You know, no rearview mirrors, just like I said, but that's the beauty of it. I hope I've been able to share with you the beauty of what it's like to get rid of the old, the nasty, the dirty, and have new life in Christ, because that's where joy is. That's where fulfillment comes, when we're able to take off those yucky clothes and know that we can burn them, that they are burned through the fire of the Holy Spirit. That we no longer have to put them back on. We no longer have to leave them in a pile in the corner some way. We just put all that stuff to death and that we're new before Christ. And so I just wanted to have some time before we close. For a couple of, I just want to open up the altars. This is our altar space. If you've never been here before, this little carpet right here, I call it holy ground. It's where we meet before God. We have to do things a little differently sometimes in a church plant when we rent a space, but this is a place where we can come before God and meet God. If you wanted to kneel before him this morning, if you wanted to stand before him and praise his name this morning, that's okay. So I just wanted to give an invitation. First, if you've never experienced new life in Christ, that maybe you came in this morning and spiritually you're thinking, I do have a lot of dirty clothes on this morning and I really want Christ to make me new. I want to be able to stand before my Creator new and fresh like a young babe. If that's you, I just want to invite you to come forward and let me pray with you this morning. Thank you, Lord. I also want to just invite you to come forward if you've been looking, you've been finding yourself in your life just looking in the rearview mirrors an awful lot lately. And sometimes that happens depending on the seasons of our life. This is a judgment-free zone. Nobody's looking at you and saying, oh, so-and-so is looking in the rearview mirrors instead of having their eyes fixed on Christ. You know, we all go through it. We all have those moments where we might be struggling with looking at our past and having our past define us. But this is a time where you can break free from that this morning and really lay that before God. With no questions asked, nobody's going to talk to you this morning. You're just going to come before the Lord. If you want to come forward and just kneel here and pray quietly and just lay it before God. You don't have to tell anything to anybody. You don't have to confess anything to anybody. Like I said before, we don't have intermediaries. There's no need to confess to the priest, but you just come before God and confess what you might have been carrying with you. And allow him to take that and clean it this morning. I encourage you not to leave this morning if there's anything that is holding you bound from your past that you really want to just lay down today. Because I know that God, my God who I serve, will take that away. Come in faith this morning and lay it before him. Amen? So we're just going to have some quiet time if you want to come forward. You just play quietly, that would be great. And if you want to just pray in your seats, that's okay too. But let's just have a time of prayer before we close worship this morning. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord, that we have been able to come before you, God, and just to hear your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement, God, that we can be made new. That we no longer have to live bound by the things of the past, oh God, but that this message might be encouragement to everyone gathered here, oh God, that no matter what has happened in the past, that we can move forward in the things of Christ, made new as new creations, God, clothed in a fashion that will never go out of style. It's eternal, God. Could you just stand with me this morning? Let's just close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. And receive God's blessing this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for being together in your presence this morning, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord, for this place, for favor, for your provision, for your mercy and your grace, your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you, Lord, for new life in Christ. Be with your people, O God, this week as they come and as they go and as they seek to follow after you. Strengthen them, encourage them, give them the words to share. Remind them of their testimonies, God. I pray, Lord, for an opportunity to share that testimony this week, O Lord, to talk of your goodness and your power and your might and your love. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Be with us this week. And we ask all things in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said,
amen,
amen, amen. Be blessed.